everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, host of VSpeaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. And I am super excited to introduce you to this issue of V's cover guy, cover gent, cover artist, Nathan Allen Yoakum. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'm so happy that you're here and I love your cover.
I am too. I love the cover too.
And all your art. It's just so amazing. And your story. I'm so glad that we met you. And, you know, we'll give a shout out to Todd Reeves at Modern Interiors, who were your art. So that's one of the places that your art is displayed and for sale. And you've known them for a long time, George and Todd.
I've known them for since 2000, probably five or 2006, maybe at the beginning of 2006.
And you've had your art there since?
And I've had my art there ever since. They've always been very supportive of my work. Todd and George are lovers of the art, you know, and that's why they sell modern, you know, furniture, which is art. I mean, when I look at modern furniture in particular, I think of, you know, sculptural, you know, something that's meant to be sat on and, you know, make you feel like home, but also a piece of art, you know.
Yes. Well spoken, like the art and the artist that you are, which is the cut line on the cover, too. Yeah. And thank you. I mean, I can't even, like, wrap my head around the fact that you made that beautiful pink flower for us that is proudly hanging in the V office. And I can't thank you enough. It's so beautiful. It makes me happy just looking at it. When I see it, it makes me so happy. And I think you said that one of the first days that I met you is you like doing that. You like making art that's happy.
I like doing art that affects the room that it's in.
Yes.
And and sometimes art can make us uncomfortable, which is okay. But sometimes art can make us joyful or sad or, you know, all these other emotions. And I think that's why I love doing the resin roses or the flowers, because they're not from anything literally per se, because they're kind of abstract, because I kind of make them up in my own mind.
So beautiful.
You know, it's in the likeness of a flower, but it's its own unique, you know, version. So I did end up deciding the name for that one should be Ray of the Sun. And
that's the name of it?
Yeah, that's the name of it.
Did I not know that? Oh, my gosh, I must sear that in my brain. I will never forget that.
Yeah, I just think it felt right to name the flower, you know, name the flower like it's a new flower being named, you know.
So meaningful.
Yeah.
So meaningful to me. Well, I think your work is unbelievable. I think
you
as a person too are an amazing person, and your story is rich and your journey is rich, and I want to tell the audience about it. One of the main ethos and of this podcast is that we get to tell people's story, but that we hope that they're inspired and they learn and, you know, they're motivated and encouraged, you know, to do whatever they're put on the earth to do. And I know you are a multi-talented guy. When did you know that you loved art?
So I've been drawing and doing paintings since I was a child.
Does not surprise me.
I was influenced to the arts at a young age. My dad is an architect, so we would go to museums and stuff. And so I had that appreciation of the arts. I liked that the arts brings the world together in a very unique language of itself. It doesn't have to always be political or religious. Sometimes it can just be beauty. And I love the fact that art changes our perception of life. It was my way of communicating with the world. Mm-hmm. At a young age, I had communicating. I didn't understand some things that other people understand, like sarcasm and other things. So, and I look back at that and some of my learning disabilities, like dyslexia and stuff, seeing things in a different way. And so art, I use that to connect with people. And I knew that that was a strong connection and a language that I could use to meet friends and to also just to love people. I think art's a great way to love on people. So even when I was a child, I would kids in school to so they could understand me and I could understand them, you know, I would draw something that I heard them talking about or that they liked and like give them out as gifts, you know. And I think sharing the talent like that is a very, you know, is a very good language for me to connect with people. For sure.
It's probably a real blessing that you didn't understand what sarcasm was, because I've heard the definition of sarcasm before, that was a form of anger. You know, there's some there's some angst in like a subtle anger in sarcasm.
Yeah, you know, and I always knew that I didn't understand it until in my 30s when I got properly diagnosed with Asperger's, or what they call now is ASD. Yeah. And it all made sense to me, you know, and that was a relief, because I always thought I was dyslexic, but I knew all these other things that were going on and that I just kept my mouth shut about, you know, and I kept it silent. And it really, it was very hard at first, because I had to come to grips with, now I know the answer and wow, I'm free by it. Mm. But I had some healing I still had to do after being diagnosed, because, you know, I had to forgive myself for one. Mm-hmm.
Why did you have to forgive yourself?
Well, because I think I beat myself up a lot as a young kid. Yeah. You know, I think as a child, I knew I wasn't perfect. Mm-hmm. And also having a dad who's an architect, the architects are very performance, and they can be they want perfection. And sometimes I knew I could never really be that, even though maybe my dad never even expected any of that from me. But in my own thoughts, I was always like, you know, but art, when I really realized I was good at it and I loved it, I realized that it didn't have to be about all that stuff. It was just about something inside of me that was dwelling up like a river that wanted to flow out, you know, and art is that river for me. You know, I just, you know, want people to.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Well, my husband's an architect, so I know all about perfection, and I don't know how he gets me, because I'm like the opposite of that. So I guess that's, you know, opposites attract.
Yeah, and we have to have architects. I mean,
we do.
The girls in the office, I was asking, you know, they said that your husband did the layout and everything. Yeah. I said, it's a perfect layout. It's very fun. Feng Shui, because they're organizers of social interactions, you know, and I'm not. As if I was an architect, I would probably, mine would be way off to the side, hidden somewhere, you know, but.
Well, knowing that, my husband architect, Jerry Burwell, I heard from the team over there this morning, walked in yesterday or something. I wasn't there, and he just stared at your resin flower array of sun.
Yeah.
And said it was stunning and it was so beautiful. So this architect thinks that your art is pretty perfect.
Well, I like his work too.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. So, all right, you touched on your dad for a second. So I'm just going to ask you this one, because, all right, one of my most favorite things about having this magazine, and I know it's going to sound like something small that people might not think is one of my absolute favorite things about having it, but it is true. It's honoring people and their stories, and like giving them like that honor and respect in that platform, because magazines have a lot of clout and credibility.
Yeah.
And putting someone on the cover of a magazine to me is like one of the highest forms of honor that you can, you know, give somebody. So knowing that, okay, when we first started making the magazine 13 years ago, I knew we knew who was on the first cover. Robert Redford was on the second cover. ZZ Top was on the third
cover.
I
saw that. I'm a big ZZ. Yeah. I love ZZ Top. I saw them. I met them when I was 12 in an elevator.
No.
And it was, my dad was working with like Nidek Bobo. And I think they were friends with some of the architects or whatever. And he was on the elevator and we were going up. And
did they talk to you?
No, I looked over because I didn't realize who they were at 12. I was into other things, you know. Yeah. And I was like, was it Santa Claus or something?
Two
really cool Santa Clauses. Yeah. You know, because their look. But of course, now that I know they are, and I'm a big ZZ Top person.
Yeah, me too. Incredible. That was super cool of them to do that for us on the third cover. But the fourth cover was my mom, a photo taken of my mom when she was in Ireland when she was 15 or 16.
Oh, wow.
And we had a Mother's Day issue then. And so it was so meaningful to me and to her just to have the gift to be able to do that. Yeah. So circling back to you. So what did your parents think? Because I always ask people when they're on the cover, I go, what did your mom think? Because I know what that feels like.
My mom was very proud, and she means a lot to me. She's a very kind woman.
Awesome. That's really sweet of you.
She's always been a very loving person. She's never judgmental.
Uh-huh.
She says what's on her mind, and I love that.
Yeah. Awesome.
My dad loved the cover too. He's an architect, so he loves modern art. So he's a big supporter of my art. They both like my mom though. It was a son's. You know, you look for your mom's because she accepts you regardless.
Yes, the mother's love
and. She knows some of my struggles the most because mothers, they're with you a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So for her, I'm sure it bring a lot of joy to her. And, even my mentor, Jay Etkin, he loves it, and I love him. He's, he's like my art dad, and he's helped guide me through this, this crazy journey.
Which has been for how long did you meet him on this journey?
I met Jay when I was 17.
Okay.
And he does not hold back.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Etkin, if he likes your art, he likes your art. If he doesn't like it, he does not like it.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into his gallery and you wonder why he won't hang something,
it's
his nice way of saying that he doesn't like it.
Right.
And he is a very beautiful soul in himself. He contributes a lot to the arts, and he's a big collector of African art. He loves African art. We talk about this all the time, how African art is such a, it was such an influence on the greats, like Picasso. Picasso's paintings were, the women and their geometrical faces, those were all inspired by, Indian garbs, and their masks that they wear and these, theater,
mm-hmm,
you know, they were doing theater, and even when we took a trip to Jordan, inside of Jordan where Petra is, they had a amphitheater, they were, people were trying to entertain each other since the beginning, and I think music and plays and entertainment and, all that influences the world we live in and the art we make,
Mm-hmm. I would say, and I asked this to Todd, selling modern furniture as he does, I personally did not sort of fall in love with modern art until about 5-6 years ago. And, I was kind of late to the party.
Yeah.
But I have such an appreciation for it now and an understanding and a love and respect for it because it's just so clean and ordered and precise.
And very chaotic sometimes.
I haven't met the chaotic side of that yet, but those are the other attributes that I would ascribe to it.
Yeah.
So knowing in my own personal walk that I was late to the table on appreciation for it. And I think other people, more mainstream. I think some modernity has become a little bit more mainstream, in the last decade or so. Because of that, do you sell more art now? Because it's not just like relegated to like the intellectual artsy sect, and it's more a little bit more mainstream than it used to be before.
Yeah, it is. I know there's a lot of decorative, I would call decorative art, and there's different forms of art. But as far as art, like art, you know, where people are really pouring their passion into the piece that they're doing, you know, it's not, you know, art can be, you can mess yourself up if you start thinking, well, I'm just doing a painting for this person's couch to match the couch. Right. That's not really art. That's decorative art.
Exactly. And
art should influence the room, the people, and sometimes the furniture, you know. And I think – but I think they all influence each other at the same way, because you have interior design, you know, influences art too.
Fashion. Big time.
Fashion, big time. Yeah. You know, the curvature of some sunglasses with a woman wearing a black dress or something can make someone like me look at that and go, I'm going to do some abstract painting. It doesn't even look anything like her, but it's carrying on this energy, you know, this the wavelength.
So, when you started the journey when you were 19 and you met your mentor, so did he immediately put your art in his gallery?
No, he did not. It was years later.
Okay. So. But along the road before you got to hang on the wall there, he did teach you.
Yeah, and it's a big thing. You know, he's always influenced me to push myself. He's never been one to say, you need to just stay on this one style, you know, because real artists, if you really look at the Rauschenbergs, the Andy Warhols, or, you know, they always were progressing, you know, and they were always doing something different than they, you know, were doing at the beginning, you know. So I think Jay really had a lot of influence on me in that perspective, you know, and he was obviously influenced by his mentor, Philip Perlstein. And I had struggles because of my issues. So college was not ideal for me. I tried and I couldn't do it. You know, even high school was hard. Mm-hmm. You know, I excelled in art, but I did really poorly in other things. But Jay gave me an opportunity to be an artist. And I love him for that because, you know, I got my education through him in different ways, and you know, just being in the gallery with him and helping run the gallery, sometimes you can learn a lot from someone who's been, you know, doing it that long, because he's in his 70s and he's, you know, he's an amazing human being, you know. And if you don't listen to like your elders, you know, the small things they tell you, you're not listening, because those are the words of wisdom that you're not getting, you know. And a lot of artists nowadays, they want to be famous right then and there, and they'll come, and I've seen them, and they come in the gallery, and they, you know, but we've seen this stuff before. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. you're actually
passe,
you know. Mm-hmm. and you know, there are artists who we just do it because we're an artist, and then there's people that decide one day they want to be an artist. You know, and Jay was very good about handling those particular, you know, artists, because at the same time, you don't know. They could be really good and they need nurturing. You know, I know Van Gogh didn't realize he was who he was until he was in his later, you know, years. And or Harrison Ford doing Star Wars, you know, like he's 35 and he's like, like the best. I mean, I love his acting. It's hilarious, you know, this very dry, you know, you know, like if a plane was going down, you know, and you see Harrison Ford driving the plane and you know, somehow and you look over, you'd be like, oh, okay, we're good. Like, you know, somebody's got control of the situation. Right. So, but yeah, I'm getting off track, Jay's an influence. He's an influencer. Mm-hmm. He influences a community of people and artists. Yeah. And he's very good at it.
In Memphis.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very in Memphis.
So, you lived here, then you went back to Memphis,
yes.
And then you came back here fairly recently.
Yeah, okay. Memphis. So Memphis is not good for people that are, I would say, on the spectrum. It's harder for us because there's so many distractions and noises and ambulances and all. They have a lot of problems there that they don't want to really address. And I think for some, city life is good and people love the hustle and bustle of the city. But I don't. It's hard to make art when you're in a state of in that mindset. You know, there's things that I loved about it. I love the music and the culture. And I don't do really well at big concerts and stuff, but I do love music. So eventually I'll go to one. But you know, it's a very influential
yes.
part of my life because I love B.B. King and Elvis Presley and Johnny Cash or some of the songs that were written by David Porter, and he's there now too, and he's got a studio there. And, you know, but for me, the city life is not for me.
Right,
it's for some people.
Right.
And I love the culture. I just don't like the city life. I prefer the beach, honestly. I prefer to be on a surfboard and in the quiet place. You
it's
know?
A good place.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to do that, really, right?
You know,
I mean, that's kind of idyllic.
Yeah.
So, you know what fascinates me? I mean, everything fascinates me about you, but the stint that you did in television and radio and your movie that you just did a couple years ago, tell us about
yes.
how you did that.
So that came about, I wanted to just to see if I had any acting in me, and I started doing acting classes with in a group in Memphis, and you know, I was devoted. So then I started doing that, and then I did like the Sun Records show that was out in Memphis, and it was about Elvis and Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis and all those guys. And I love those guys.
Yeah, I know, that's cool.
You know, and I think B.B. King's in it. But that influenced me anyway. And I wanted to be a part of that. And it was like time travel.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just loved it because it was like experiencing that period of time, you know, that gritty time and understanding all those facets.
That's awesome.
You know, of all that stuff that went on. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that went on. I mean, you know, so, you know, Martin Luther King and JFK and all this stuff and all this still, all that confusion came out of all that. A lot of beauty, a lot of artists and painters and musicians and writers, you know. And being on set, like doing the,
camera, behind camera?
No, on camera, but... why can't I
stand in?
Anyway, so not the main actors, the cast. Yeah, just being part of that, and you know, it got to where the producer was like, "You're really good at this." And Michael Lane, one of the main actors, and I'm friends with him on Instagram still, he's great. He pulled me aside one day and he was like, you're really good. You should pursue this. And and I did for a little while. And I did the movie that's on Amazon, The Game. I played a really bad guy, because it was to raise awareness of child sexual slavery, and I had to play the bad guy, and that was kind of hard for me because I don't, you know, that's you have to be somebody you're not.
Right.
You don't. I mean, you got to be the bad guy,
right,
you know,
right.
And so you know, that was different for me.
I bet
for me, but
watch it. And watch it, check it out. Though.
Yeah.
I mean, and that is like such a unbelievable. I can't even understand that happens. And you know, I mean, we have a big problem with that. So it was good that you did that. You said you did it because you wanted to make a aware what was going on that's horrible?
I felt passionate about it. So I was like, I'm going to do this, you know, and it was my time to do that, you know, and I think you got to do those things when you're an artist that you feel passionate about. And that was one thing I really felt passionate about. And I knew it's for a good purpose, right. You know, because we need to be
eradicate this insanity.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You know, that would be awesome if we could just get it out of this, you know, this world,
yeah,
you know. There's really no place for that.
No.
But it was a good experience. And I did some other commercials and stuff and I had fun, but I'm an artist.
Yeah,
you know?
Got it out of your system. I tried it. I got it out of my system.
I'm an artist, you know. Yeah, I mean, good. I think it's fun. And if I was asked to do something again, if I thought it was very artistic and it had value, I would probably say, you know, yeah, you know.
Okay.
For sure.
So where can people buy your art? Like, tell all the places that it's for sale.
So they can go to Modern Interiors here.
In
Miramar Beach, and talk to Todd and George. Those guys are good. And then they can go, if you're in Memphis, you can go to the J. Etkin Gallery. And then if you're near Atlanta, you can go to the Chic Evolution and Art Gallery. And Ivan Petone, he owns that, and he runs that. He's a really good guy too. He's got an interesting story himself. So also want to give a shout out to my good friend Jason Miller in Memphis. He is an awesome photographer. His Instagram is like Soul Recorder. But he did the picture for the cover.
Yes, he's amazing. And that photo of you that he took is amazing.
Yeah, he's very good at just
capturing
those moments. So, yeah, definitely give a shout out.
He captured a lot of Memphis cool in you in that picture. I tell you that.
He did. The shoes and everything.
I know.
The shoes and everything.
It was,
you know,
flawless.
I got those shoes at Lansky's downtown.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, they're cool. I hope.
Yeah.
Do you still have them?
Yeah.
You
gotta
put those
them
on again soon because they look good. Cool. So when did you start with your evolution? You know, when you're saying that artists have an evolution. So you had to go through, I'm sure, several iterations. And
yeah,
I see where
yeah.
you are now, you know, but like, where did you start? Like, what was the medium? What was the subject matter at the beginning?
Well, I started doing, I used to do very dark paintings.
Okay, I can't, all right, from where you are now.
And sculptures, you know, okay. In high school. Now, elementary in school, stuff like that, I was dinosaurs and all that. And then, you know, you get in high school and you start to get affected. You realize that you may not be part of a clique.
Yeah.
And when you're not part of the clique sometimes, you know, you get isolated sometimes. And
angry
parents have issues at home. You know, obviously they're going through their divorce and some other things that affected me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't getting, I don't think I was getting the education I needed, you know. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, so it started out with that, which is normal.
It's
teenage
angst. Yeah, so they were very dark. And even some of them, and the sculptures that I did, like in welding class, because I had shop class and was very good at shop class and welding. And my teacher was like, "You can just make art." And probably shouldn't say this, but he was like, "I'll just give you A's because you're so good."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because he would teach me how to weld. And I guess that was part of the curriculum. So, so I used that time to make sculptures out of steel.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy.
They were quite interesting. They were very dark. I was in a dark place. I'm not in a dark place anymore.
Well, that's good. So you've blossomed like a flower.
Yeah. So, and then the school put on a first art show they've ever done for someone. And I got to show all my work throughout the year. It was very cool.
That's so interesting, Nathan. I always find it fascinating to know where people began. Because I always say to myself, you know, don't despise small beginnings. It's a biblical quote, but it's also like true. And so it resonates everywhere, and that you have to begin and you have to start, and then you have to work out the journey of like honing your craft or perfecting a skill. And, you know, sometimes, and I know like maybe people wouldn't think this happens to me, but there have been several times in my career where I'm like, I'm not where I want to be. I don't think it's where I was supposed to be yet. And like, then I look back, and sometimes I just like look back at like all the magazines on the wall. And I'm like, wow, like how did that happen? Like that's a lot. It's a long walk. So
it's a big journey.
Talk about like, so you've given us, you know, where you were at the beginning and now like a whole journey, but where your art is now.
So, you know, I think art is always influenced by the surroundings it lives in, you know, or where it is. But it's also inspired by other things. But right now where I'm at is I'm doing my flowers.
Beautiful.
Yeah, because I want to change the atmosphere in whatever place that they're going to hang, you know. And flowers, they're about life. They're about death, you know, creation. And they can mean so much more than just a flower, you know, to people. Mm-hmm. And I'm still doing my pop art, and I'm back to doing some abstract paintings again, which is good. And I don't try to stick with those mediums. I just try to perfect all the mediums that I work with, and that's important. All the art I do, whether it's a painting or a sculpture, you know, there's a journey with each work, you know, to working that journey out. Because sometimes I've had paintings that I've held myself, and I did it to a point, and then a year later, I revisited it and finished it, you know. Mm-hmm. So sometimes those things happen, you know. Sometimes those are the best paintings, right. You know.
Can you describe, because we're going to show this on the video, too, of the flower that you graciously gifted us, the process? Like,
So the process. I don't want to reveal too much.
Okay.
I will talk about the process.
Can you say it's like
origami? So it is like origami with resin, but the resin is all timed, and I know when it's ready to be manipulated because it takes about an hour and a half for it to really start setting up and curing. And so I have that window to start manipulating pieces. And so when I build the flowers, I start from the center and make that center – you know, the swirl that exists in all nature, the spiral. There's been drawings of that spiral and exists in all nature. So it needs to have that flow. And then when I'm doing the pieces, they all become their own little unique sculpture that makes the bigger one. And so each piece I'll sand, glue with the resin and make sure they all look the same, and then I'll come back the next day or two after that and then work another outer layer and then another outer layer. And at the end, I'll do last looks where I'll sand everything one more time.
So intense.
And yeah, it's kind of like it's model making, it's engineering, you know, and it's also making, you know, a beautiful piece. And I want it to look like, too, that if somebody who's a drawer or a painter, if they wanted to come in and actually paint it as a paint, you know, something like that, you know, because it's physical. So you can, you know, because it's a sculptural.
Mm-hmm. Dimensional.
Thing. Yeah, dimensional, yeah. You know.
And did you say yesterday when you came in and gave it to us that like you had over 20 hours into just creating it?
Yeah, probably about that. Maybe a little over. Yeah.
Thank you so
it's
much.
It's a labor. It's
I
a
know,
labor of love.
I love it. Yeah. And I'm so thankful to you for that. That was amazing.
I mean, it's
of
a
you.
Unique. And those are the colors I chose because I like to get the energy of the person that I'm doing it for, and I try to get that out in the flower. Whether the flower has wavy features to it or there's some areas where it's got a lot going on, you know, I think we're a lot alike.
Yeah.
You know, we're like that. We're like trees in a way or a plant. You look at one tree and that tree may be beautiful,
right?
You know, and then the other tree it needs water.
Right.
You know, like I think
it needs help.
Yeah, it needs some help, you know,
oh, man.
But it could still be a beautiful tree. It just needs a little help,
right?
You know,
right. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to tell our listeners about you, your art, your life mantra?
You know, if you have disabilities, they're not disabilities. You may think they are sometimes, and it's hard sometimes, and it's not easy to chase your dreams and to do what you love. But if you love doing it, keep doing it. And, you know, If it's your passion, you won't stop doing it, no matter what anybody tells you, whether good, bad, or negative. You know, you just chase after what you want in life, and you be that change too, and you do whatever your giftings are. You know, stick to your true giftings. You know, be the authentic you when you're chasing after those dreams. You know, art is not an easy field to be in. It is a lot of competition, but don't get wrapped up into that. You just make your beautiful art, mm-hmm. you know, and do it to the best of your ability.
Awesome. Well, I don't see any disability. I just see like a super awesome, cool guy standing before me.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful artist. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So everyone, so thankful to you all for watching or listening to V Speaks. Stories with Heart and Soul, Conversations with Heart and Soul. This is a sister to our V Magazine. So we hope that you visit V Magazine and read all about Nathan Yoakum in this issue out right now. Check it out. Thank you.
Thank you.